The last couple of days, we've been talking about this massive power outage down in Victoria, which has created all sorts of problems. And I did play a little bit of my next guest, who's the federal member for Hinkler in Queensland, the former Resources Minister Keith Pitt, who, speaking to Peter Credlin on Sky News, had this to say.
Welcome to a glimpse of the future for Victoria. If you want to know what it looks like without coal-fired power, this is it.
Well, I thought I'd go to the man himself. He's on the line, Keith Pitt. Keith Pitt, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you and good morning to your listeners.
Yeah, nice to... look, I'll do a Pauline Hanson. Please explain what you meant by that comment about, you know, this is what it's going to be like without coal-fired power stations, Keith.
Well, if you're wondering what Australia looks like if you take away baseload, reliable and affordable electricity, well, this is it. Now, unfortunately, there was a series of weather events in Victoria, catastrophic failure of transmission lines in particular, in fact, hundreds of faults right across the network, and the protection system did what it's designed to do, which is to protect the network and protect all of the electricity assets. Unfortunately, that meant tripping Loy Yang, 2,200 megawatts of generation. All of the solar obviously comes off when it becomes dark, don't work. I'm not sure what the wind contribution was. But when you have all of these decentralised assets, which Mr. Baum plans for in the future, you'll have another 28,000 kilometres of transmission. So you can't keep taking away what's reliable, replace it with something which is intermittent, and expect your supply to stay on.
But given it was a weather event, I mean, they had wind gusts of over 120 k's, and these huge towers near Geelong, I think there were six of them, and they're 70 or 80 metres tall. They all came down, a lot of power poles and lines came down, and that was the main cause of the problem.
Well, that was the cause of the fault.
Yes, yeah. And I mean, you know, we still have coal-fired power stations, and it got tripped and shut down. I mean, it wasn't, it was nothing to do with where the power was coming from. It was the transmission lines, et cetera, that came down.
Well, but this is the point I'm making. If you want to know what it looks like when you take 2,000 megawatts of base load out of the system, that's what it looks like. So it was removed, and consequently, you've still got over 100,000 people without power. They're working their way through all the repairs, and that's all fine.
Right.
But as I said earlier, you can't replace something that's reliable with something which is intermittent expect it to be reliable.
But again, Keith, it was a weather event that brought down transmission lines. It wouldn't matter where the source was coming from, whether it be coal-fired or whatever. It was a weather event. I mean, we had one here in my area last night too. We had a storm that came through, and there was about 2,500 people, Ausgrid customers, that lost power. It was restored, but it was a weather event that caused it.
Well, it happens regularly in Queensland too. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's not a weather event that caused the outage. I'm just saying this is what it looks like when you take that out of the system. It was taken out of the system.
Yeah. But again, it wouldn't matter where the power was coming from, whether it be solar, whatever, renewables or coal or nuclear or whatever, it was a weather event that caused it. And that could happen any time regardless of where, you know, the source of the power, Keith.
And yesterday and today, if that coal-fired power station is not online and you're relying on an intermittent supply with no backup, then the supply will be intermittent, which means you won't have electricity in places, you will have load shedding. That's just the reality of the system and how physics works.
All right. Well, what's the solution, Keith?
Well, the solution is to ensure that you have rock-solid baseload supply. A decentralised network means more transmission, more distribution, more easements, more solar panels covering 2 million hectares of the country, to be honest. And what we're seeing right now, and this is the hypocrisy of the proposal from Mr. Bowen. If you look at Clark Creek, for example, a wind farm up in Queensland, 3,500 hectares of koala habitat is being cleared. 3,500. You imagine if that happened in your area, just for a small subdivision, that there would be outrage. And yet, because it's remote and it's away from everyone else, it seems to be, you know, that's tickety-boo, we'll let that happen.
Mm. And, of course, the big problem is then connecting all of these places to the grid, and I think that's what people are really up in arms about. I know I've spoken to representatives of farmers' federations around the country and over the last 12 months, and they're talking about the lack of consultation between the federal government and landowners as to, you know, where these transmission lines are going to go. I should imagine it's the same in Queensland, a lack of consultation, Keith?
Well, they just don't want them. If someone wants to put a 500,000-volt transmission line through your property and it impacts the way that you run your business, particularly if you're in horticulture, Clearly the landowner doesn't like that. I mean, there was a report recently for Victoria where they're claiming that without offshore wind, they'd have to basically disrupt 70% of Victoria's ag land to cover it in wind turbines and solar panels. I mean, this is just madness.
You and I know Ted O'Brien, big fans of nuclear, but the problems we have are now. Nuclear is sort of way off over the horizon. You still think it's a conversation we should be having?
Oh, absolutely. It's a conversation to have with the Australian people. It's baseload, it's reliable, the assets last for decades. Intermittent wind and solar, roughly 20 years lifespan. You've got to replace them all again. There's significant risk to them from hailstorms, cyclones, bushfires, pick whatever you like in terms of weather events in Australia. Nuclear is a very small footprint, and we are going to have a nuclear industry in Australia regardless. AUKUS means we will have nuclear reactors, we will have a nuclear industry, we will have high-level nuclear waste to deal with. All of those elements have to be dealt with by the Labor government right now.
All right. People keep talking about we should be grabbing some of these small nuclear reactors, but do they exist at the moment?
Well, small modular are moving on, and there's already plenty of small ones inside submarines and ships.
Yeah,
but I also think that the big units that are being built right now, they should also be considered. So we've just seen, for example, there are three actually online in South Korea and a fourth midst construction. That's about 5,000 megawatts that's being built there for $22 billion US. Now, that sounds pretty competitive to me. Similar in the UAE, they're tried and tested technology. The footprint is tiny compared to what they're trying to do with wind and solar. Centralised, so you don't need all of the transmission. You can utilise sites that already exist, and it will work.
All right, but way off over the horizon, though. I mean, the small modular reactors, I keep getting calls from people, we should be buying these, but you're right, they exist in ships, etc., but none are connected to the grid at this stage, as I understand it, anywhere in the world.
Oh, only with shore power. But my understanding is there's a couple around that are trial sites in different places, and they've certainly been developed through NuScale and others in the United States.
Yeah.
But this is a technology that's been around for a long time. And I just want to give you one quick example, Richard. The old-style technology nuclear reactors in the United States, they power 70 million houses a year, and guess how much waste that produces? It's half an Olympic swimming pool. That's all. Compare that with literally millions and millions of tons of solar panels and wind turbine blades.
Oh, look, I think it makes a lot of sense, nuclear power. Unfortunately, it's not a conversation topic, though, with the Labor government at the moment. Look, I'm almost loath to bring it up, but you came to the defence of Barnaby Joyce yesterday, speaking on Sky News. Do you think it's much ado about nothing?
Oh, look, if this is now the standard for a hanging offence in public life... I can think of a lot of people. You better get ready for some by-elections, Richard, because I can think of a lot of people who are in trouble.
Right. Well, look, you're a Broncos fan, and Adam Reynolds and Pat Kerrigan the other night got into a spot of bother. People are saying double standards about, you know, rugby league players get hauled over the calls, therefore Barnaby Joyce should be as well and maybe stripped of his shadow ministry.
I think Barnaby's had a fair belting, to be honest, in terms of the media pylon.
Yeah.
Which doesn't actually help anybody.
Yeah.
But let's look at the reality here. He fell off a pot plant. He was embarrassed. He said he was embarrassed. He made a mistake. He said he made a mistake. No one was hurt. He wasn't driving a car. There were no injuries. There were no crimes. I just think that this is getting overblown. And you know, the reality is we need to be talking about what is a very bad Labor government that has massively increased the cost of living for all Australians. In fact, $8,000 in the period of time that they've been in government. And if you've got a mortgage, you're paying $20,000 plus extra. People are really hurting. They're the things that I want to be focused on.
All right. And Adam Reynolds and Pat Kerrigan, I know you're a Broncos fan. You think we should be dealing with it the same way, much ado about nothing?
Well, what, they had a bit of push and shove in their football players. I'm sure Kevvy Walters will sort them out. Maybe they'll sit out of the Vegas trip. That would be penalty enough, I think.
Look, I don't think they will somehow. All right, look, good to talk to you. Thank you very much for your time this morning, Keith.
Great to be with you.
Much appreciated. Keith Pitt is the federal member for Hinkler and the former resources minister in the Scott Morrison government.